This is the Dealer News Today podcast, the podcast for automotive executives and the professionals who support them.
Well, hey there, folks, and welcome to Dealer News Today. You are here listening, and I appreciate it. You know, we are in season six. This is episode two, and we have so many great episodes from all the seasons that you could listen to on demand anytime you'd like. Just head over to dealernewstoday.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. Also, please make sure you follow us on social media at Dealer News Today. A lot of good gems over there. I am your host, Derek D. And if you'd like to get a little better idea of who I am, you can just go to DerekD.com. But let's jump into this episode. We have a great guest who is unbelievably smart. You know, this is more of a technical episode, but it's really interesting to understand how battery technology works when it comes to EVs, powering them, and how the future of EV technology, you know, will look, what it will look like, you know? And my guest has secured research and innovation grants that total over 60 million euros. He has a PhD. He has co-authored over 10 publications and patents in the field of supercapacitors. Please welcome the VP of Business Development at Skeleton Technologies, Dr. Sebastian Pullman. What's up, Doc?
Thanks for having me. Very excited to be here.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have you on. Now, do you prefer to be called Doc or Doctor or just Sebastian?
Or... Just call me Sebastian. That's fine. I actually prefer it without the titles.
Okay, cool. I mean, sometimes it's fun. You could be like, hey, what's up, Doc? You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. But Sebastian works.
Exactly.
So you're originally from Germany, right?
That's true. Yeah, I'm originally from Germany. I also studied in Germany. Today I live in Estonia.
Oh, wow. Estonia. So that's way over there on the other side of the pond, like below Finland or something, I think. But that's pretty cool. I'm in New Jersey, quite the distance away. But technology is wonderful. So anyway, you studied in Germany and you have a PhD in physical chemistry from the University of Münster, Germany, correct?
That is correct, yes. I studied chemistry in Münster then went on to study electrochemistry, basically physical chemistry, in my PhD at Meat Battery Research Center, so really battery and energy storage focused. But my focus was mostly on supercapacitors.
Right, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, you know, physical chemistry and supercapacitors and all this technological stuff, way more advanced than I know. I'm not savvy in all that stuff, and I'm sure some of the listeners are in the same boat as I am. But we're going to talk about all that and how it relates to automotive. So you started at Skeleton Technologies in 2016, and you just, you know, kind of worked your way up, right?
Yeah, that's true. So I started out in development and started out as doing material development for supercapacitors. So really on the basics of the technology. And then started in 2018 leading the cell and material development function at Skeleton Technologies. That meant basically for me that I had to deal with topics such as producing really our base material, our carbon material in a pilot plant in a chemicals park in Bitterfeld. But also I had to deal with very production-oriented things like bringing our cell design into production in Germany.
Okay.
And really dealing with the early pains of production.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay. So let me try to understand this a little better. So you said supercapacitors. I also read somewhere about ultracapacitors. Is there a difference between super and ultra? Or is that basically the same thing?
It's basically the same thing. So what happened was that when supercapacitors or ultracapacitors hit the market, a certain company called Maxwell Technologies branded them ultracapacitors. A lot of people took that as kind of the new name for them. But whether you say super or ultracapacitors, the scientifically correct name is electrochemical double layer capacitors, but that's a mouthful, so nobody wants to say that.
Yeah, that's quite the mouthful for sure. And very, yeah. So I asked this next question to pretty much all my guests on the show because, you know, titles sometimes could be long, not that yours is that long, but maybe a little, sometimes it could be vague. So you're the vice president of business development for Skeleton Tech, but you also oversee the automotive realm of that as well. So what does that exactly mean? And tell us what maybe, you know, a day in the work life looks like for you.
Yeah, it's absolutely true that I still work a lot with automotive companies and in the automotive world. So One might wonder, first of all, when you started out in development and what brought you to be suddenly VP of Business Development. And it was actually an automotive project that brought me into the commercial team of Skeleton Technologies and now working on business development. So my very first interaction with the commercial world was, and the automotive world was one of our automotive projects. And I kind of... got a taste for doing the business development with the automotive customers as a focus in around 2020, end of 2020 it was. And the interesting part for me was really to see our technology and the technology that I just had developed, together with the team, of course, in the application and seeing how it can help certain applications in automotive. In terms of what a daily interaction with me looks like, or what my day looks like at Skeleton is, it's a lot of customer interaction. So it's a lot of having calls with customers, having customer visits, of course.
Was there any particular project you worked on or something that was automotive related? Or
the Honda CR-V, the Beast, which uses supercapacitors as a performance enhancement, so to say. So it's a extremely fast car, uses our products to accelerate extremely. And that, of course, is something that motivates very much. If you see how the thing that you just have developed a couple of years back ends up in the car and you see what it does there, that is very nice to see.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, it's a sense of accomplishment, and like you helped develop that. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Exactly, and especially if you then see this immense power that the supercapacitors, they can bring it into any electrical machine. But once you see it in a machine that actually has wheels on the ground and you stand in front of it, it's double impressive.
Yeah, or you get in it and drive it. That could be
That would have been nice, but they only have made one of these. I think they don't let me drive.
And you said that's the Honda. What is it? The Honda CR-V?
It's called Honda the Beast. So it's basically CR-V.
Oh, right.
CR-V that they upgraded with strong engine
EV technology,
and they hybridized that with supercapacitors.
Oh, interesting! It's interesting they chose a CR-V, but that's cool. So I also read that you helped Skeleton Technologies win research and innovation grants that were worth over like 60 million euros. What were some of those? Were any of those innovations and grants towards the automotive sector?
Industry? Yeah, they are related to it. So I think the biggest chunk of that 60 million is around 50 million that we are still getting from the German government. That is in it's part of a very large European initiative called IPCI, or Integrated Project for Common European Interest. It's also a mouthful. But what we do there is basically we work on hybrids between lithium ion and supercap. So what if you take a lithium ion battery and a supercap and you combine them in a hybrid system? Yeah, so not you don't do a hybrid cell, but a hybrid system. So the supercaps take part in all of the high power interaction with whatever electric motor or so you have. And the battery is there for the energy part. And that is something that you can use in a lot of different applications, but you can use it in automotive as well. So it's quite interesting to consider this for the future of board nets, whether it's 12 volt or 24 volt or 48 volt board nets on cars, but also on trucks and buses. Because if you look at the future, then the future is electrified. And the main 12-volt player today is the classic lead-acid battery. And what we're seeing is that battery is slowly on its way out because it's lead. That's for one. That's one factor.
And it's old.
It's old. That's the other factor. And the third factor is just that it doesn't survive that long. And there's like this this thing that if you buy an electric car, and after 2-3 years, somebody tells you have to exchange your battery and it's the 12 volt battery, then you kind of feel scammed a bit. So the OEMs know this and they want to work on this and get the 12 volt battery to work as long as the car works.
Yeah. I mean, I think that makes sense because, you get a car, you don't want, and it's electric vehicle. Obviously you don't want the batteries, degrading in that quick of amount of a time. Plus just to, you know, dispose of batteries in cars.
Yeah.
Is a hit on the environment. And, you know, obviously you want them to last longer. And, you know, I was reading actually something about super battery technology that you guys are developing. Does that mean that, you know, those super batteries would be put in electric vehicles and will have a super amount of range?
Yeah, it's something different. So definitely. So first, what is the super battery? So supercapacitors are extreme high power devices, but they don't have a lot of energy. So they have around 20 times less than you find in your average lithium ion battery. So it's not really good for range, but it's very good if you need very high power for a short amount of time. And that's, for example, what you need in performance vehicles or in very short pulses in the board nets for braking and steering.
Electric dragsters.
For example, that would also be one application. What we wanted to do with the super battery is we wanted to close the gap between supercapacitors and lithium-ion batteries. Because lithium-ion batteries are really great when you want to store energy for longer, like 1 hour, 2 hours. So that's what gives you really the range of driving 300, 400, 500 kilometers. And supercapacitors are rather good in that area of up to 15 seconds. But there is a gap yet because supercapacitors are good up to 15 seconds, but lithium-ion batteries are not really good for going down to 15 seconds. Yeah. So lithium-ion batteries, I mean, if you have a fast charging lithium-ion battery, it charges maybe in 15, 20 minutes. So that gap between 15 seconds and 15 minutes, we try to address with a super battery. And what it basically is something we took our supercapacitor cell design. We took all the lessons from production. We took all the lessons from building high power devices and choosing the materials for them and try to increase the energy density. And we ended up with a device that has around 10 times the energy density of supercaps, which means it has around like a third or half of what you find in common lithium-ion batteries. So it's still not good for actually getting a lot of range, because you will have less range actually if you replace the lithium-ion battery with a super battery. But it's very good if you want to have a lot of power and long lifetime. So it's good for hybrid vehicles, for example, where you want to keep the battery small and you want to have still a lot of power and fun to drive hybrid. And it's also good for high utilization vehicles, so where you want to have a long lifetime and you actually drive the vehicle rather 8 hours per day than just 1-2 hours per day.
Huh. That's cool. I mean, I was just at the New York Auto Show where they had the new Corvette, you know, C8 Stingray, but it was the E-Ray, so it's hybrid. And I would imagine what you're saying would be perfect for something like that. So you get those, you know, burst of power, but you still have the regular combustion engine in there too. So it's, you get the best of both worlds, you know, it'll last. It also provides immediate fast power. So something like that, obviously in high end, you know, could do not just Corvette, but any hybrid supercar, things like that, this would be great for, if not already used, which I'm sure it is.
Absolutely. That's what the super battery is great for. And that's also what we aim to use it for. So we are in discussion with multiple OEMs and also startups that want to use that technology for these kind of hybrids, but even hybrids with fuel cells. So you can also imagine a fuel cell as being the combustion engine of the electric car.
Yeah.
and then having the super battery support the fuel cell in terms of power so that you still have fun to drive it and have excellent acceleration and also braking energy recuperation. And then finally, you can also look at things that are maybe not so much fun to drive, but they kind of drive our everyday society, which are delivery vehicles. So if you have something that delivers wares from door to door, something like that, you actually don't need a lot of range, but you need a lot of utilization. So you don't want to stand around charging for 4 or 5 hours, but you want to drive all the time and utilize your vehicle and make money with it. That's also where the super battery makes a lot of sense, because you can recharge very quickly, can recharge in 2 minutes, and then drive 70, 80 kilometers and then recharge again.
Wow, 2 minutes. Wow, that's cool, because I always say, and I've said this on the show a lot of times, you know, it sounds like this technology, you know, as it gets better and better, would eventually be the fact, like, because I always say, you know, people want to be able to charge their car in the same amount of time it takes them to fill up their gas tank, mm-hmm. 2 minutes or so. So if you could charge a car or charge the batteries in a couple minutes, even 10, 15 minutes, and it's at a full charge, you know, now we're talking.
Yeah, exactly. That's the idea behind it. And of course, driving 70 kilometers on one charge, it's not really something that is convenient if you have your day-to-day personal use car. But it's something right. that's definitely enough for delivery week or for something that is used only in urban environments.
Yeah, and it's a step in the right direction, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, we're saying super batteries, super capacitors, and this might just be because I'm not savvy in this, and people listening would probably, what's the difference? What a super capacitor is inside the battery, or what's the difference between a super capacitor and the actual battery?
Yeah, so super capacitors and lithium-ion batteries are fundamentally different. So lithium-ion batteries, you have, first of all, lithium inside that is shuffled between an anode and a cathode. So it has two different materials on both electrodes, and those interact really electrochemically. So you have a kind of a chemical reaction happening on each side. And one side is kind of needs energy to happen, and the other side kind of gives you the energy. So if when you discharge from one side to the other, and in charge, you do it, you reverse that whole thing. Supercapacitors don't use a chemical reaction. They just use surface area and process called charge separation. So you literally just separate the plus and the minus, and that's what you do in a supercapacitor. It's very simple. You have also no lithium inside. You don't need cobalt or nickel or even graphite, none of these critical raw materials. But you just have a very porous, high surface area carbon material on both electrodes, and that allows you to have large surface area, which you need for a lot of kind of energy storage. But it also means that you can charge and discharge very quickly, and you can charge and discharge millions of times without any detrimental
no
effects.
Degradation?
Yeah.
It degrades.
It degrades, but it doesn't degrade as quickly as lithium-ion batteries. Yeah. So you can have millions of cycles, really.
Millions. That's a lot.
That's really nice thing about supercapacitors. You can have millions of cycles, and on top of that, they're extremely safe. So you can do all these nasty tests like nail penetration and crushing and overcharging, overheating. You will not have a fire or an explosion with supercapacitors. If you do that with lithium-ion batteries, you normally have a problem. That is for supercapacitors. So super batteries, they actually use lithium, but we take kind of all of the lessons that we have taken from supercapacitor development and integrated them into the super battery. So it's a new kind of chemistry that we developed ourselves, and it is really aiming to take all of the advantages of the supercapacitor. We still have quite a long lifetime. You can cycle it 50,000 times. We still have all the safety. We still have really the sustainability as well. We don't use cobalt or nickel or graphite. And these are the key items.
That affects, cobalt, nickel, graphite. I mean, some of that's all stuff we have to dig out of the earth. And sometimes, you know, that's not as available or not as abundant.
Yeah, or it's available only in certain regions where you might be then making yourself dependent of other political systems as well.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's really cool because I always say, listen, I like electric vehicles. I think they're great. And obviously that's the future. There is a whole environmental impact, I think, with batteries and how they make batteries and disposing of batteries, of course, and got to figure that out. But I always say, you know, hybrid's just the way to go. And what you're saying with these supercapacitors and things like that with, you know, I think that's the way to move. I think in the future, there'll be, you know, in the very future, most people have an electric vehicle and also have a hybrid vehicle, maybe even, with hydrogen instead. So we're just completely completely don't use fossil fuels, and it's a hydrogen powered engine with a electric engine. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I tend to agree. So in the end, there's no silver bullet. You don't have one energy storage device that takes it all, and you don't have one drivetrain concept that takes it all. There will be a mixture of hydrogen based vehicles, with fuel cells, which then use supercapacitors or super batteries as power component. You will have the fully battery electric vehicles, which I think will probably be the bulk of the vehicle population of the planet in the future. But you will, of course, also still have some combustion engines. Maybe some of them will be running on e-fuels or something like that. And I guess also there's a trend in some cities in Europe, at least, to just not have a car anymore. I know this is a car podcast, and maybe it's not what you necessarily want to hear, but there are also these things where super batteries then are used in, well, like I said, vehicles that are utilized a lot also include vehicles that are shared. So shared vehicles that are just for urban transport. Maybe you live in a city, you don't really need to leave it. You just hop on a ride share and you can charge it in 2 minutes. So you never have to worry about whether it's empty or not.
Right. I mean, yeah. And then in the future, I know I read an article the other day about in Chicago, they're planning on implementing this in the next few years or so, where it's battery powered. Basically you get off a flight and then you jump in this, you know, it's an air taxi, but it's all battery powered. And yeah. I would imagine it, but not for long distance, just to get you where you're going in the near area. So I would imagine, you know, these type of batteries that could charge quickly and things like that, that'd be perfect for that application.
Yeah, that's true. That's another application which goes beyond the classic automotive world in that sense. It's kind of an automotive for the skies, yeah, where you have these VTOL drones that take off vertically. They need a lot of power for that takeoff period. They have very short kind of jumps, not even flights. And you fly them only for maybe 5-10 minutes. You drop off somewhere, you recharge, and you go back to the airport, for example. These kind of concepts are, of course, being evaluated everywhere. And there are a lot of startups working on this with very interesting concept vehicles as well. Well, not vehicles, airplanes, basically.
Air vehicles.
Yeah, exactly.
they could do that, obviously, you know, with ride sharing. You know, the same kind of thing with cars as well, you know, from the airport, whether it's not even a manned vehicle, just electric, and same kind of using this type of battery technology to shuffle people around.
It
is really cool. I mean, we have a lot of, you know, dealerships and dealership owners that listen to this show and stuff, and obviously they're converting, you know, they got to sell cars that are electric because that's just the way the industry is going. What's your take on that? When do you think, because right now electric vehicles are only a 6% of the market, and do you think dealers really need to focus on that more strongly in the next 5 to 10 years? Probably, right?
I think it depends where you are. In Europe, definitely, because we have crossed in Europe a critical threshold of electric vehicle sales, where it has become kind of acceptable. You're not the odd one out anymore. If you buy an electric vehicle, you rather make a very conscious economical decision, because it's cheaper to drive an electric vehicle over the lifetime of that vehicle than to buy a combustion vehicle here in
Right.
In Europe.
Especially if you don't have to drive too far. You know,
exactly.
You could commute. Yeah, in a general, you could get round trip and not even use all your range.
Exactly, yes. And maybe you recharge at work, because most of the trips anyway, they're to work mostly. And then you park your car there for 8 hours and you can recharge slowly. In the US, I guess it depends also where you are. In cities or close to larger urban centers, it should definitely become a focus. Because there are so many advantages of driving an electric vehicle. The other day I was talking to a friend who owns an electric vehicle, and he was telling me, he one thing that he didn't even consider before was that he never goes to a gas station anymore. He just charges at home and at work, and it saves him tons of time not to kind of think about whether he has a full vehicle or not. He always has a full vehicle because he parks it at home and it's charged.
Yeah, time and money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I always say, I think eventually... You know, because I'm a car guy, so I love manual, I love driving cars, I love the sound of cars. Mm-hmm. But I think eventually, you know, I'll just have both. Have my electric car and then have my fun combustion engine car, or whether it's a hybrid or something like that. You know, I would always have both just because I'm a car guy. And, you know, I always, you know, last question before we get going, I always like to ask people on the show this. Are you a car person? Do you love cars? Or are you just more in the... You know, do you have an electric car?
I actually have a hybrid. When I bought it, I was thinking about getting an electric car, but that was at the time when it was still hard to find a charging station in Germany. So, and now I'm just thinking, I actually don't use that car a lot. I live in the inner city of Tallinn, of the Estonian capital. and don't mm-hmm. really need that car. So for me, it's I'm not a car person per se. I'm very interested in the technology behind it, especially for electrification. And I'm just also very interested in the industry itself, because what is so amazing about that industry is that they have managed to standardize so much and drive costs down in an absolutely astonishing way. If you just look at the innovation that has happened and the cost down for innovation that has happened over the past 50 years in cars, it's quite crazy. If you just think about what kind of functions you would only find in luxury vehicles 20 years ago, and you find them today in the kind of lowest class package that you can buy a vehicle for. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the technology and how it's advanced over the, you know, you said 50 years, even in the last 15, 20 years, you know, it's that trickle down technology. I mean, the same thing back in the day, like if you had a CD player in a car back in the day, it was like, wow, this is an expensive car. And, you know, eventually, obviously everyone had that. And now, you know, you get just like heated seats and things, everything, you know, all cars are generally good cars. It just depends what you want now. There's no really too many like lemons, or that brand is not good or whatever. Like we pretty much know how to make a good, reliable car. It's just down to preference, price, and things like that. So that's where we're at. And it's amazing to see where the technology is going, especially in the battery world and electric vehicle world. It's constantly changing and moving forward, and it's great to see. And, you know, Sebastian, this has been really cool to have you on the show. Very, very technological conversation, but very interesting nonetheless. And I do appreciate it. Is there anything else you'd like to say before you get going?
No, I think what I would like to say is it doesn't actually matter whether you are a car guy or not. Like, we all need to go from A to B somewhere.
Yeah, and everyone uses them.
Exactly. And the interesting part is really how do we do that in the future, and how it is changing at the moment. So I just would like to remind every listener of this show to just look around what options are out there and how amazing this world is, how fast you can get from A to B today, and compared to what it could have been as well. Sometimes you just need to cherish what we have actually achieved instead of complaining about how it might look like.
Yeah, that's good advice. Good advice. I do appreciate that. I'm gonna call you Dr. Sebastian Pullman. I do appreciate you coming on the show. And thanks for all that insight. That was great.
Appreciate you having me on the show. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Have a good one.
Have a good one. Bye.
That was Dr. Sebastian Pullman, the Vice President of Business Development at Skeleton Technologies. For more information on him and his company, you can go to skeletontech.com. A lot of cool stuff going on over there. But that will do it for this episode of DNT. Make sure you follow us on social media at Dealer News Today. I am your host, Derek D. DerekD.com for all my stuff. Thanks for listening, everybody. And until next time, this is Dealer News Today.